Welcome to CanTalk 2.0, a podcast by the Goethe Institute Cyprus on the occasion of 300 years since the birth of Immanuel Kant. I am Dr. Christos Hadjioannou, academic philosopher and the host of this podcast, and in the company of Hambis Damianou, stand-up comedian.
Hello, everyone.
We will be looking at Kant's work in today's context. Kant's work is considered to be the pinnacle of the philosophy of the Enlightenment. In each episode, we are joined by international guest experts on Kant to ask them what Kant would think about specific situations and examples from today, from artificial intelligence to lying on dating apps. What is it like to look at his ideas from almost 300 years ago through the lens of today? Can we still learn from him? Is he still relevant? In today's episode, Should My Cat Have Rights?, we will be talking about Kant's position on animals, whether we have any moral duties towards them. Hello, Hambis. How have you been?
I'm fine. How are you, Christos?
Yeah, I'm good. This is our last episode.
Oh, yes.
But
yes.
We kept a very important and interesting topic for this one.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about my cat on a podcast, so this is my chance.
This is your chance.
Yes. Yeah. So I remember 2 years ago when a video of a famous Premier League player kicking his cat went viral. Everyone was fuming about it. 2 or 3 months later, I was watching a football game in which he was playing. During the second half, he had to come off the pitch injured. While the player was limping off to the dressing room, the crowd sang the best chant ever. That's how your cat felt. It was a great chance for an animal's right wave to begin. I started to write a stand-up comedy routine about cats and their rights. I never finished the routine, but I'm here to ask you some questions, which will probably help me to do it. Do we have any obligation towards our cats, according to Kant? Would it be immoral, for example, to overfeed my cat, and why? Does my cat have the right to be alone when it wants to? Am I not the owner of the cat? Isn't my cat my property? What was Kant's position on animals?
Right, you raise multiple issues in your question. Let's start addressing them one by one. Firstly, let us clarify that the contemporary animal rights movement, also called the animal liberation movement, is nothing new. It is regarded as having been founded in the UK in the early 1970s. But let us now draw an important distinction that will help us better answer the questions that you raise. We must distinguish between animal rights movements and animal welfare movements. There are important theoretical and practical differences between animal rights movements and animal welfare movements. Animal welfare movements seek to regulate the exploitation of animals so as to make their treatment more humane. But these movements maintain the property status of animals. Namely, they maintain that animals are a property that belong to humans. So the laws that derive from this approach of animal welfare can only ensure and protect the welfare of animals that is required for their use as human property. So animals have value as commodities. This means that animals are still treated as inferior to humans, as not equals. In order to achieve that, equality, we must stop seeing animals as property and recognize their rights. And this is what the animal rights movement does. Now, the question is, where did Kant stand in relation to this? In order to answer this, we must first ask what was Kant's ontological position on animals. In other words, what did Kant think about what animals are? I've asked Dr. Laura Papish, who is a Kant expert and an associate professor of philosophy at the George Washington University in the United States, and this was her answer.
So thinking about what Kant says the nature of a non-human animal is tricky because it's really hard to pin him down. He does say that animals are not to be considered machines. There were philosophers who thought this, that animals were basically like clocks or robots, things that are programmed to do certain activities and not others. Kant rejects that view. He also, though, rejects the idea that animals are of a kind with us human beings. So human beings are going to be different because they have understanding. They form representations of things in the world, even if it's a representation of something that is an object of the senses, like a flower that you see in front of you. Kant thought that all of these representations were structured by or enabled by the understanding in really important ways. And since animals don't have understanding, they can't be of the same kind as us. All that said, Kant then wants to say that animals are, in some manners, like us or analogous to us. So they don't form representations of things in the world in the way we do. They're not going to be able to grasp that flower or take in that flower in the way I will. But he does think that animals have something like our capacity to form representations, that they don't just react to stimuli, but they have something analogous to a mind and engage the world with it.
So Kant did not believe that animals are machines. Is that good?
Well, yes, considering the historical context, it's an improvement if you consider that René Descartes argued precisely that animals are machines. So Kant's position was definitely better than Descartes.
Okay, right. But Kant also believed that they are not equal to humans, that they do not have the capacity to understand the world as we humans do.
Yeah, that's right. Which means that it would be very difficult to argue that Kant believed that animals ought to have rights, because animals are missing certain important powers that for Kant are the foundation of moral agency upon which rights are based. I do wonder, though, if there is a way to construct a Kantian argument in favor of animal rights. So I asked Dr. Papich about this.
I think the answer to this is pretty clearly no. Kant himself definitely did not think that animals had rights, and it's really hard to construct within a Kantian framework an argument for animal rights. And the reason for this is that in a Kantian framework, rights are really interwoven with the capacity to reason. If you can't reason through and think through your actions, you never incur obligations, but also you never gain the ability to claim rights for yourself. So Kantians really do probably need to reject the idea of animals having rights. But I want to stress that from this, it does not follow that the only mindset then left available to us as human beings would be one where we would look at animals as mere instruments or tools for our uses. Kant very much thinks that human beings are naturally fascinated by animals. We are fascinated by the way that they organize themselves and sustain themselves without the direct intervention of some external power or the intervention of some external agent. Animals can take in food and grow by means of it. They can heal their own wounds. The parts of the animal, the way they work together, it's utterly fascinating. He gives the example of how you would think a bird would be endangered by its tiny hollow legs, but that actually helps it fly. And it's utterly amazing to us how animals function, because we could never design or make anything that's like an animal. So animals don't have rights, but it's also the case that we're not going to just look at animals as mere tools for us. It's really appropriate to find ourselves engaging with animals with a sense of real awe and reverence.
So from Kant's perspective, animals don't have rights, cannot have rights, because they are missing reason and therefore are not moral agents. I think this explains why most animal rights theories focus on sentience rather than reason. So sentience is a more basic level of awareness and feelings. The interesting point about Dr. Papish's answer is that while it indeed sounds impossible to argue from within Kant's philosophy that animals have rights, still Kant would not reduce animals to mere machines.
Okay, but where does that leave us with respect to duties we have towards animals? What was Kant's moral approach to animals and their welfare?
Right. I've extended your question to Dr. Papish, and this was her answer.
Depending on how we read Kant, we can either find a lot to criticize in his account of animal welfare or actually a lot to admire. So thinking from that critical angle, Kant does say that we do not have duties to animals. We only have duties concerning animals. He says that it's only with respect to human beings that you have direct duties. Anything that's owed to animals is owed only indirectly. And for a lot of folks, then, this means that you should only care about animals because you ultimately care about how we relate to other humans. So, yes, you should be kind to an animal, but only because that's sort of good practice to then being kind to human beings. And for folks then who are stressing this critical reading, it seems like Kant has gotten animals to matter in a really problematic way and in a really sort of roundabout way that we should reject. Then on the other hand, there's going to be folks that find a lot to admire in Kant because he argues for significant constraints on animal treatment. He says that the needless suffering of animals is wrong. He even talks about how if there's an animal that's helping your family, like a horse or a dog, you should express gratitude toward that animal and treat it as a member of your family. Kant likewise will say that, look, human beings are animals. We have an animal nature. And yes, we also have reason, and this elevates us above other animals. But nonetheless, we have bodies. We are sensuous. We want food, safety, and sex, just like animals do. And so there's very much going to be a kind of natural basis for feeling sympathetic to animals as they navigate the world. There's going to be a fellow feeling that we have for them, and that's deeply embedded in ourselves as human beings.
So there you go. You have your answer. Mm-hmm. From Kant's perspective, we do not have duties to animals, but we do have duties concerning animals. These duties are actually duties we have to other human beings. So we have indirect duties to animals. This probably also answers one of your opening questions concerning overfeeding your cat. Mm-hmm. We should not cause suffering to animals, according to Kant.
Okay, yeah. So I will surely name my next cat Emmanuel Cat. Yeah, that wasn't necessary. No.
Well, Hambis, this was our very last episode. I really enjoyed these podcast episodes, and I hope our listeners enjoyed them too.
Mm-hmm. It was a strange but really exciting project for me, and I hope Goethe Institute Cyprus will invite us again on the occasion of 400 years since the birth of Immanuel Kant, if we are alive.
I am Dr. Christos Hadjioannou.
And I am Hambis Amianou.
Thank you for listening to Kant Talk 2.0 and for joining us as we try to answer the question, what would Kant say about animal rights? This was the last episode of the series Kant Talk 2.0. We hope you enjoyed it. Goodbye.